Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday. It's July 2nd, 2026, and wishing you an early 4th of July. Tomorrow, we have the day off, so we'll be bringing you a very special patriotic edition of Catholic Connection. We could still be with you, and please stay tuned for all the great programming, including something special this evening that I want to remind you of after we let you know what's coming up on the program today here on Catholic Connection on EWTN. Of course, it is a Thursday. That means that one, the only Father Mitch Pacbo is with us for two segments, and he wants to talk about our nation's birthday. He's a history buff, so I can't wait to get his thoughts, his ideas, his reflection on America 250. That will be two segments with Father Mitch for our cultural connections, as we always do on a Thursday. And then a great way to wrap up the first hour, a beautiful book by Melissa Overmeyer, Seven Easily Achievable Habits That Can Increase Joy in Our Lives. The official title of the book is Living the Blessed Life, Seven Keys to Trusting God and Embracing Joy. What a great subject matter for a book, because so many of us get caught up with expectations, disappointments, and fear. By the way, fear, someone told me once, is an acronym, false evidence appearing as real. So it'll be a delightful first hour of Father Mitch Pacwa, two segments, then Melissa and her book, Living the Blessed Life. Hour number two of Catholic Connection, looking forward to this as well, continuing our conversation on the important Supreme Court decision regarding the ban on men and boys playing in women's sports upheld by the Supreme Court. Samantha Kelly is going to be joining us. She has a beautiful podcast and a ministry entitled Fierce, and the podcast can be heard on our EWTN, of course, .com/radio segment, where we have our other podcasts as well. But she is an international presenter, author, and speaker, and the founder and president of this beautiful ministry, Fierce, which desires to reach female athletes, coaches, and parents across the world and change the culture of female athletics. She currently resides in Pennsylvania with her golden retriever, Birdie. Best dogs in the world, goldens and labs, love it. So we're going to talk to her about not only her ministry, but how she's looking at the world now after this big decision came out earlier this week. And then we're going to be checking in with our friends from the Catholic League. Of course, they've weighed in with a number of articles on this decision upholding the right to ban men and boys in women's sports. So that is the show for a Thursday morning. Now, as I mentioned, I wanted to remind you of something absolutely wonderful that's coming up in the air tonight. Holding These Truths Again, Reclaiming Our Founding Principles. This is tonight on EWTN, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. A number of amazing speakers, including the wonderful Archbishop Salvador Corleone from San Francisco and Bishop Thomas Paprocki from Springfield, Illinois. And there will also be words from wisdom, I'm sure, Dr. Ben Carson, who's amazing, well-known surgeon, public servant, and wonderful international speaker. So it's going to be a great show. There are a number of other guests as well. So this is tonight at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, Holding These Truths Again, Reclaiming Our Founding Principles, tonight at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern on EWTN television. And we're going to have all kinds of great programming all weekend long, of course, dedicated to our nation's anniversary and the Catholic connection to it, pun intended, by the way. So keep that in mind and keep us close to you this weekend and every weekend and every day. Let's check the weather for you. 3 minutes past the hour, see what's happening in terms of the heat. Now, dangerous record-breaking heat, according to the National Weather Service, continuing across most of the central and eastern parts of the country through tomorrow, then focusing on the eastern U.S. through Independence Day weekend. Peak heat indexes of up to 115 degrees are possible. Strong to severe thunderstorms are possible from the northern plains into the Midwest and Great Lakes regions, as well as across the southern Appalachians today. And oh, I forgot to mention, in hour number two, we have an additional guest that we just added this morning, my friend Patty McGuire Armstrong. Of course, she's a well-known contributor to National Catholic Register. She has her own show in North Dakota, Women with Another View. She's a best-selling author, and she wrote the most beautiful piece in the National Catholic Register last September, all about sunflowers across America. Now, the reason I came across the article is because I wanted to talk in my Two Cents segment about the beauty of sunflowers and what they say about our Christian and more specifically our Catholic faith. They are seen as inspirational, these gorgeous flowers that bloom all over Italy, mainly our area of Umbria, also Tuscany and northern Lazio. Now, they're an important crop for Italy as well, but they are just so beautiful. It makes every scene in Italy when you drive down the road just look like a major portrait. They're just gorgeous. And if you go to my Facebook page, we have some pictures that we took yesterday and posted, and it's just one field up the street from our little village, and there are a number of them around us. And tomorrow we're going to make the effort and go further across Umbria and see what we can find, because it's just crazy. I drive Dominic crazy. I take so many pictures of sunflowers because they're my favorite flowers. But I thought it would be a great way to start your weekend for 4th of July in terms of looking to the sun, as in S-O-N, but also to be joyful and to be happy, because every time I look at a sunflower, I don't care if it's a fake one, they just make me happy because they're so big and they're so bright and they're always looking toward the sun. We'll talk about that in 2 cents. All right, so we gave you the weather. We gave you the rundown. Now we need to get to the news. As always, it's a very, very busy day. Let's get started. 5 minutes past the hour. Time for the news now here on EWTN. Natalie Rodriguez tells us the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela is hitting now, she says, a grim new peak.
The official earthquake death toll has now surpassed 2,200, with 50,000 people or more still missing. Standing with local relief groups, South Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez is demanding expedited federal processing to ensure immediate logistical support. Local drop-off hubs are urgently pleading for professional medical gear, baby formula, tents, and hygiene items.
This is the kind of response that I expected from South Florida, especially the Venezuelan community.
He was side-by-side thousands of volunteers at the Global Empowerment Mission headquarters in the city of Doral, officials emphasizing they cannot accept any more clothing or standard bottled water. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
A breakaway Catholic group has now been officially excommunicated for ordaining bishops in defiance of Pope Leo. The Society of St. Pius X ordaining 4 new bishops yesterday, despite strong appeals from the Holy Father not to go through with those ordinations. The group has been against church reforms that were introduced in the 1960s and did not have papal approval to ordain bishops. And today, the Vatican published a decree saying the 4 bishops are excommunicated, along with the 2 bishops who took part in the ceremony. The decree warns anyone who follows a breakaway group will also be excommunicated. On Monday, Father Gerald Murray will be joining us to talk more about this on Catholic Connection. The U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to hear a religious liberty lawsuit involving a Jewish prayer group and Ohio zoning rules. Court records show Daniel Grand sued the city of University Heights after officials required him to obtain a special use permit to host a prayer gathering in his home. Lower courts dismissed the case because Grand had not completed the local permitting process before filing suit. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops backing his legal challenge, arguing religious liberty claims should not be delayed by lengthy zoning procedures. The Supreme Court is expected to hear the case during its next term, which begins, of course, in October. And the latest rounds of talks between the U.S. and Iran ending with no major developments. Mitch McCann telling us that officials in Qatar claim there was positive progress, though, in the discussions that wrapped up yesterday.
It seems the key points of discussion are around the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's desire to enforce tolling, as well as financial arrangements, for example, the rollback of sanctions and money that's been withheld from the Iranian government, and also the ceasefire in Lebanon is another key point of discussion.
President Trump saying this week the two sides were making progress and told reporters the denuclearization of for Iran's late supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, who is due to be buried next week. Mark Mayfield, meanwhile, tells us the president was in North Dakota yesterday paying tribute to a man he believes embodied the heart and soul of America.
Trump was in the city of Medora for the dedication of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library.
On the steps of the Burning Hills, we dedicate a living monument to a legend, a statesman, a soldier, frontiersman.
Trump called the 26th president of the U.S. a true American hero. Trump was accompanied by several dignitaries, including Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, who previously served as the governor of North Dakota. The dedication came as the U.S. celebrates its 250th anniversary. Trump took the new Air Force One on its maiden voyage to travel to North Dakota. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Vice President J.D. Vance praising the military as the country gets ready to celebrate our anniversary. He spoke at the Naval Air Station Oceana in Virginia Beach, Virginia, yesterday.
Part of the reason why we in our political leadership are able to do what we do is because the world over, bad guys and good guys, friends and foes, allies and enemies are afraid of you.
He told troops he's grateful for all of them and willing to put on uniform to protect the country. He added they make it possible for Americans to pursue the American dream. William Denslow reports over a dozen people are now dead and scores more are hurt, this after a massive missile and drone attack on Ukraine.
It was an assault Ukraine knew was coming. President Volodymyr Zelensky cut his visit to Ireland short, warning that Russia was planning a massive strike. Several neighborhoods were hit in Kyiv overnight, sparking multiple fires. Moscow says it was targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure in response to recent strikes conducted by Ukraine. The U.S. ambassador in Ukraine called it a horrific night for the city's residents, who were forced to spend it in shelters. William Denslow, Brussels.
Tammy Trujillo tells us the Supreme Court striking down campaign finance rules that were challenged by Vice President J.D. Vance.
The longstanding rules put limits on how much a national political party committee can spend in coordination with individual candidates. Justices ruled 6-3 that the restrictions violate free speech rights under the Constitution's First Amendment, based on the theory that political spending is a form of speech. The Federal Election Commission under the Trump administration sided with the challengers. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And moving along to the weather story, as we mentioned to you in the national newscast just a few minutes ago, it is going to be a brutally hot 4th of July weekend for much of the country. These folks are not looking forward to it. Forecasters say temperatures of 90 to 105 degrees are expected this week from the plains into the Appalachians and from the Gulf Coast to the eastern seaboard. That's about 10 to 20 degrees above average. The conditions could lead to strong thunderstorms activities early next week. And the city of Richmond is, as Rocio Rivera tells us, is now canceling its 4th of July holiday celebration because of the heat. Okay, sorry about that. Apparently we don't have that story, but let's wrap up with some news about the 4th of July. AAA is projecting that more than 72 million Americans will travel during the Independence Day holiday period this year. The holiday travel sets another record, but it's only a 0.5% increase from last year. As rising prices and pressures are taking a toll, the travel period began on Saturday, June 27th, and goes through Sunday, July 5th, with many Americans expected to travel at least 50 miles from home. According to AAA, most travelers will hit the road, as more than 61 million travelers are projected to drive to their destinations. Air travel remains steady, while cruising and other modes of transportation are seeing the strongest growth. And the United States is moving on to the next round of the World Cup. The Stars and Stripes shut out Bosnia 2-0 from Santa Clara, and Team USA will face Belgium in the round of 16 from Seattle, and that will happen on Monday. It is a Thursday morning, of course, a big day before the holiday weekend begins. A lot of folks will have the day off tomorrow, including our network, but we do want to remind you we will have great programming for you all weekend long, including tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, holding these truths again, reclaiming our founding principles. You want to check that out. We'll be right back with Father Mitch Pacwa. Stay tuned. Minutes past the hour. Appreciate your listenership here on EWTN's Catholic Connection. Thursday before the big 4th of July weekend, celebrating a beautiful anniversary for our nation, 250th anniversary. And Father Mitch Pacwa is a history scholar, I would say. History buff, loves history, knows a lot about it, not only for the United States, but many parts of the world. Father, this is such a special celebration for all of us. And I've been really enjoying some of the wonderful videos of the visitors for the World Cup events from around the world. There have been so many. Yes. It's been incredible. They've been apologizing for being brainwashed by the leftist media in Europe, saying that they were kind of scared to come to the U.S. They didn't know what to expect. And I saw an interview this morning on another social media outlet, a man from Germany who started to cry when he talked about the kindness shown to him by people in Boston. He said, this is not what I expected. And he talked about how much he loved America and how much respect he had for it. And what's happening, I also notice, is that a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, we really do live in a great country. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Go figure. Who knew?
I know. To me, it's crazy. But it's part of a couple things. There are if we look at how a number of people in our society are trying to make the case that they should be in power, because everybody else who's ever come before them in this country is so bad, so evil, so uncouth, and et cetera, that they should be in charge, and they have to put the nation down in order to acquire power. This is there are two things there. One, we ought not to let them make the narrative. The narrative is one, and this is one advantage of being a Catholic, that we believe in original sin. We don't believe that people are born the way Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a French philosopher who denied original sin, and thought everybody is a noble savage. And if you hold that, and then you come across somebody who is not quite so noble, you have to hate them. And that's exactly what goes on. Whereas if you start off with the assumption people are sinners, they do things wrong, you have to work to correct them, you know, because their sin is something quite evil, but they can be corrected, and we have to take that effort. You start off with those assumptions, you can look at American history soberly. There are lots of bad things that lots of bad people have done, and there are also great things, and you don't have some people who are always great and never do anything wrong, and some people are always wrong and never do anything good. It's life is a mixture, and so is American history. That has to be a starting point for looking at human life. And what you don't see in the people who reject America is any capacity for mercy. They'll favor a side, but they won't show mercy to people who do dumb things and even evil things. And those are two different approaches. Some people just are ignorant, and other people are self-centered. And again, usually it's a mixture of the two. They can't show mercy to them, and it's either reject and just tear everything down and let me remake it. And we have that view of America presented by too many people in our society. And what I would suggest is you have humility about yourself first and your own stupidities and bad behavior, and show and seek mercy from God for yourself, but also try to get God's perspective of how we learn from mistakes in the past. Given that Catholic assumption about life, then you can take a look at American history with its mixture and see that the way people tried to live out certain ideals is a noble thing. They failed. Yes, okay. Oh, yeah. But they also succeeded. And a very important element of America is that we are not an ethnicity. America is based on a series of ideas and philosophy about how people should be governed and where freedom comes in and where we want government to be less and less in our lives, most people. And in the face of less government involvement, you can have more creativity. Now, of course, again, going back to the bad people, you need government to guide and control and keep some of them in check. And, you know, people will go off on tangents. Corporations will ruin the environment if they can make more money. And that people will do terrible things to Africans, and like enslaving them, terrible things to Native Americans. That there has to be a sense of balance on the basis of principles and control of bad impulses. But you also have this incredible inventiveness. For instance, the fact that I can speak to you on a telephone is an American invention. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. why our national country code is number one. An American invented the phone along with telegraph, and on with this creativity that we have here, and innovation, and an abundance. And this is a tremendous gift, but it's not because of an ethnic identity. We do badly when we try to have a pure ethnic identity. Who tried to do that? The Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have a pure identity. The Know-Nothings wanted to keep Catholics out because they consider them inferior. People like Planned Parenthood believed in eugenics. Certain ethnic groups are inferior, Southern Europeans, East Europeans, blacks, Hispanics, and other people of color. That was Margaret Sanger's approach.
Sanger. Mm-hmm.
And people mm-hmm. act badly when they try to have a so-called pure American ethnicity. That's the Klan's attitude. Instead, we have this tremendous diversity. And we Catholics are a very strong part of that. The Catholic story of America is also one we should know and tell.
Amen. Father, we have to take a break. It's about 25 minutes past the hour, having a great and very important conversation, as usual, with our own Father Mitch Pacwa, talking about the beauty of this country. 250 years we'll be celebrating this year. Pretty amazing. When we come back, we'll also talk about how what people are saying about the country is impacting the rest of us, and also some of these politicians who think that democratic socialism is the answer are trying to do just what Father Mitch said, some pretty bad things that don't belong in the United States of America. We'll be right back. Seven minutes past the hour. You are listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio and their production of Catholic Connection. Great to be with you every day. Today is a Thursday, which means two segments, as always, with our own Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Cultural Connections. Father, great information in the first segment. We were chatting during the break about all these different states and different areas of the country that, despite a lot of patriotism that's being expressed right now and Americans reacting very well to the great information and all the videos and the compliments we're getting from visitors of the World Cup, but it seems somewhat of a disconnect there, because we're seeing a lot of these politicians who call themselves democratic socialists, when they're much even further left than that, are getting elected. Or at least getting elected to the point where they can run for an office where they've won in the primaries, outside mm-hmm. of even with Mondami in New York. It's very frightening to me. How do we explain that? What will happen if they all win their various posts across the country?
There are a couple of things. People are pointing out that, for instance, Mr. Mondani and a number of other of these folks are Mr. Khan, I think from California. These folks are very rich. They were taken care of by their very rich parents. They come from families of multimillionaires. Why is that significant? Not because I think, well, they're necessarily hypocrites and they shouldn't do that. No, that's not it. The issue is they've been taken care of by other people their whole lives. And their model for how society should work is one of other people taking care of me. And everybody should have a parent or a rich person who takes care of them. And that rich person is called the government. And mm-hmm. the government will be taking this money from rich people the way I take it from my parents or my father-in-law. And Ro Khanna, that's his name. If that's their model, they're going to run out of other people's money. And they're also going to do something that ultimately harms themselves. This, having the government take care of its people is not wise. In the case of the government doing that, we see that it becomes the reason for breakdown of family. In our society, we have a lot of people who work for the government and or live off of the government, and they expect the family, the government, to take care of them the way family is supposed to. And the government is not equipped for that. That's where you need mother and father. So we see, for instance, once there were large amounts of government welfare entering the economy in the post-World War II period, we see that for the first time in our history that the rate of out-of-wedlock birth went mm-hmm. from 4% to 5% between 1950 and 1960. Since then, it has now moved up to 52% of all children. It is not something that helps people get to be more mature. They don't improve their lives when they don't have a mother and father. This is a good
example. No, and it becomes generational. It becomes generational.
It has become generational because folks don't have the imagination of taking care of themselves. They don't have the imaginative sense of what that might mean. And it takes an imaginative sense. How do you do this? My dad, from the time I was 6 years old, my dad made it clear that if you go to school, you can stay home rent-free. If you quit school, you have to get a job and pay rent to stay here. Mm-hmm. If you don't mm-hmm. go to school and you don't have a job, don't let the door hit you in the backside on the way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dad didn't say that, just talking out of his hat. He meant it. I took option A, my sister option B, and my brother got option C. to his chagrin. But, mm-hmm. That was the way it was. And it gets people to think about how they are going to make a change in their lives. What are you going to do? You can succeed. You can make a move forward. But you have to know what you're doing. And you need the help of your family, to be sure. And sometimes you need government help. You know, I got government loans to pay for college. That was fine. But there is also a point when, you know, we actually have to then make a decision to go ahead and get some good work and creativity going. Mm-hmm. And that's part of life. And that's okay. And some people may fail. You know, again, my own dad failed at lots of businesses that he tried to do. He came from a very, very poor background. But he kept coming back. He knew he had a family to take care of, and he was going to be committed. This became possible. And here's the other thing that a lot of folks don't realize. That opportunity for Catholics in America was incredible compared to what they had in Europe. And not only that, but also Catholics became the second best educated religious group in the country and the second wealthiest religious group. Jewish people became the best educated and the wealthiest religious group. And Catholics became the second best. That's amazing, because both the Jews and the Catholics came to America at the same time. And we succeeded incredibly, both of our communities.
That's the American, that's a true American spirit. And speaking of failing and trying again, think about Thomas Edison, right? Here's a quote from him. "I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that won't work." indicating how many times he had to try before his success with the light bulb. So that's just an example. And he's been brought up in some of these videos that are out there that's so, you know, great about America in terms of giving you that opportunity to make mistakes and try again. Father, wishing you a beautiful 4th of July weekend. Look forward to catching up with you next week. And don't forget, folks, you can watch Father on Wednesday evenings, of course, on EWTN Live, and listen to him on the radio as well. And we will be back with a beautiful book, something I think would be great for beach reading and everyday reading, 7 Keys to Trusting God and Embracing Joy. Our guest, Melissa Overmeyer, is next. It's a great way to wrap up our first hour on a Thursday morning. It's July 2nd. God bless you. God bless America. Wishing you a beautiful celebratory weekend, marking 250 years of the good old US of A. And remember always to have joy, and think of it as an acronym: Jesus first, others second, yourselves last. Melissa Overmeyer is with us. She's a dynamic evangelist, author, and speaker, founder of Something Greater Ministries, which fosters prayer, scripture study, and community. And she also does a great job of presenting the teachings of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith. And of course, she's a convert. These converts are always amazing. Melissa, it's great to catch up with you again. I know you reminded me that we did a book project together through WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, and our mutual friend, Kelly Walquist. But the book we're talking about today is Living the Blessed Life, 7 Keys to Trusting God and Embracing Joy. I love the title, and I think I love the subtitle even more. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. So the first question always out of the gate, what prompted this particular book for you?
Well, it was really born out of tragedy. In 2020, an arsonist broke into our house and totally destroyed it. And then he set fire in multiple rooms, and we lost literally everything in our home. Mm. And thankfully, I had already written a book called From Worry to Wonder, A Catholic's Guide to Finding Peace Through Scripture, which is also out from Ascension. And it's a scripture-based anti-anxiety recipe. And I have to tell you, it really works. It was my lifeline during that time. So if you're a worrier, you might want to pick that one up. But after the tragedy had subsided and we were starting to rebuild our lives, I asked God to just show me, Lord, how do I live a normal, happy, everyday life without being depressed or fixated or distracted by the loss, you know, the crime, the insurance, all the things that surrounded that were robbing me of really a beautiful, happy life. And I know that's what he intended for me and for me to move forward. And so I felt God inspired me with the word blessed, which amazingly in the Greek is the word makarios, which is how we translate, usually we translate it as happy. And then he inspired me with these seven daily practices or habits that are habits for happiness. And so each one is based on the word blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, to help me remember them. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, they all lined up with not only scripture, church teaching, but the latest modern research on happiness.
Hmm. Now, I want people to buy the book. I love the cover, by the way. It's beautiful. Is that a sunflower on the cover? What kind of flower is that?
I think it's a Gerber daisy.
It's gorgeous. Looks like
Thank you.
I love sunflowers. I'm actually talking about sunflowers the next hour of the show with a mutual friend, Penny Armstrong. But anyway, in terms of just giving us a few of these, as I said, I want people to buy your book. But before we get into a few of the items on that list, the seven keys, what do you think it is that keeps most of us from really making the most out of every day that God gives us?
You know, I think we get so we were created from the earth, right? Like Adam means soil or earth or dirt. And so we are created from this. And I think we let our earthliness dominate our what we become in Christ, which is a new creation, a spiritual being. So we get our eyes on the temporary and off of the eternal. And that's what happens, I think, when you have crisis in your life or something happens. And then we base our whether we're happy or not on our circumstances, rather on what God says, what His Word says, what we have in Christ. And so this book is really about a refocus, about a retraining your mind for new habits instead of going down the pathway of, you know, maybe what would feel right or is normal. St. Anthony of the Desert says you have to practice until practice becomes habit and habit becomes nature. And amazingly, God gave us something called neuroplasticity, which is really a way to rewire your brain. And that's what this book is about. It's about replacing habits for unhappiness, which we all have. We all have millions of those, with habits for happiness. And so I just give you seven. There's bunches of them out there, thousands, if not, you know, infinity lists. But this lines up with the latest the latest science research that backs up the eternal scriptures. And so it's a lovely way to incorporate these things, bake them in, and basically rewire your brain and help you get down the right path, which is thinking about things above and not things below.
We're talking with author and speaker and catechist Melissa Overmeyer. Her latest book, Living the Blessed Life, Seven Keys to Trusting God and Embracing Joy. Now, one of the points you make early on in the book in the introduction is practical steps to noticing beauty. And I think that this is right up my alley. This is why Kelly Walquist and I do pilgrimages. This is why Deacon Dom and I do pilgrimages. This is one of the reasons why we decided to make the leap and live part-time in Italy. Beauty, 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 everywhere the eye can see. It's crazy. Not that you have to go to a foreign country, but there are places that allow you to appreciate beauty, you know, to the nth degree. And yet sometimes we walk by so much of it right in our own backyard, and that makes such a difference in your perspective and the way you approach life, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. I recommend in the chapter on beauty, so there's beauty, laughter, encounter, song, silence, engage, and distinct. So those are basically, and then I give you all these different practices. I give you a journal to actually practice them for the week. But in beauty, I really recommend that you go for a walk, or even, believe it or not, looking out your window at nature.
Yep.
But you can't just notice it. You have to stop, you have to pause and make an intentional moment, a memory of it, and allow that to draw your heart upward to God, to gratitude. Because if you just stop and think, oh, that's pretty, but it doesn't take you all the way to a window to heaven, it's only taken you halfway. And St. Basil the Great, who's one of my favorite saints of all time, he said he wanted every blade of grass, every flower, every bird, every stream, anything that you see that was made by the Creator, to be a window to heaven, to draw you upwards to God. And believe it or not, when you do this, now the scientific research says that a 20 to 30 minute walk in nature actually drops your cortisol, which is your stress hormone.
Oh, yeah.
Up to 21%.
Yeah, and then there's other studies to show that when you spend time in art museums looking at beauty, that has the same impact.
Yeah. It has the same impact. Beauty, so beauty, truth, and goodness in the theological world are what's known as the transcendentals. Transcendentals is basically something that elevates you upward, right? And so the idea is everything that contains beauty also contains truth and goodness, because those are all aspects of our Creator. That's who He is. And so when you make a moment of encounter with beauty, truth, and goodness, you really are, in a way, being transported to heaven. That, I mean, it was done intentionally by God. This is not a mistake. This is what He does. These are love notes. Like, every flower is a love note from God to say, hey, I see you. I love you. I'm here. I'm looking after you, you know, and look up to me and give thanks because I'm here. And it really does change your perspective if you allow beauty to take you where it's supposed to take you.
I'm very vocal with my faith, and even this morning, it was a beautiful day here. My husband and I live part-time in Italy, and I sent my producer, Tom, a picture from the balcony, and I swear, it was just so gorgeous. It had rained, and there were some clouds, and the different colors of the wheat, and the sunflowers, and the dark green, and the blues. It was kind of a mixture of everything. It looked like a Renaissance painting, and I just opened the doors, and I said, hi, God, great job today. You really outdid yourself, and I say it very loudly. That's a form of prayer. I mean, I don't care who's listening. Half the people can't understand me anyway, but because I don't speak Italian that well, but you know. But I think to be bold like that is acknowledging. St. Francis did it all the time. He wrote about it. That was his life.
That's right. And I actually give you one of my favorite poems by St. Francis that's in the book, and I completely concur. And you know, part of this book is learning to embrace the micro joys of each day, because we're all going to face in the day. We're going to face good things and we're going to face bad things. If we don't allow the bad things to overwhelm us, but we just see them as part of the bigger picture of our day, of our life, and then notice the beautiful things, the happy things, laughter, which is about enjoyment. According to the Harvard Study of Adult Development, which is the longest study ever done on human flourishing, it's been done for over 70 years, 240-something men. It says you have to have love, first of all, to be happy. Well, we have the greatest source of love of all, which is God. So this encountering beauty and knowing that we're loved and that we love God, that is great right there. But then you said prayer and scripture reading, the sacraments, all of these things, if we can bake them into our day, they help us to really embrace that love of God. And then it says we have to have faith, which of course is all part of this, family, friendship, and meaningful work. And among that, baked into all of that, you have to have satisfaction, enjoyment, and purpose. And so these seven habits that I give you just incorporate all of these scientific habits, but then they also are all backed up by scripture and the saints. And so what you are doing naturally is something that God intends for all of us to do, which is anytime we see something, it should draw our hearts upward to Him. And we should say, hi, God, thank you, God, I noticed this. And when we do, it's just like a warm hug from our Creator. But most of us spend too much time looking down at our phone and not outward and upward at all that God has given us.
Yeah, it sounds so complicated in order to achieve happiness, but it really isn't. It is taking that step every single day. And I love the phrase micro joy. I love that, to take those little joys, because we live in a fallen world, right? And it's never going to be perfect until we get to heaven, God willing. But to understand the reason why we may be in a particular situation, but really to look at the beauty first and to put things in perspective. I love the fact that you gave people the opportunity to write things down in this journal format. That was a great idea.
Well, for me, at least, I like to turn good information into transformation by God's grace.
Right.
And if I don't write it down, if I don't practice it, it's like, well, that was a good idea. But this book is really about to help you to establish new habits for happiness. You know, one of the number one habits for unhappiness is grumbling. But thanks be to God, if you're a grumbler, there's hope. You know, you can turn that around. And hopefully these habits, and this embracing these micro joys. You know, I think people think that happiness is like a destination, that someday you'll reach Happyville. There is no such thing as Happyville. Every day is embracing what God has given you and saying, thank you, God. You know, and instead of worrying about the what ifs, God has given me this amazing phrase to say, even if, because I'm a natural born worrier. So I've had to switch my thinking from what if to even if, and even if allows me to smile and say, you know what, even if I've got Jesus by one hand, the Blessed Mother by the other, and we're going to walk forward through this, and he's going to give me the grace to get through it so I can smile. And one of the things under laughter, I give you this information, but if you make a smile your resting face, it actually tricks your brain scientifically into thinking you're happy. And believe it or not,
not only that, but you know that smiling takes less muscles, Melissa, than frowning. So it's good for the women who want to keep themselves young. It has an inside out perspective. So it does you good physically on the outside and also on the inside, as you said, psychologically. And the whole thing, it's just amazing how science backs up and is finally catching up to God. I could just see God sitting up there saying,
"Oh,
I told you so. Don't tell me I told you so, but don't you so."
Scripture got it right first, right? And so a joyful heart is good medicine. That's, you know, that's 3,000 years old. That's from Proverbs. And so, yes, a joyful heart is good medicine. And, you know, God gives us what we need for each day. Give us, you know, this day our daily bread.
This day our daily bread, right.
And, you know, and he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You know, and for some of us who are natural born warriors, it's very difficult. So these seven habits are really about becoming present to your moment right now, embracing the joy that God has given you, the strength he's given you, the beauty he's given you, faith, family, you know, himself. And then
We're out of time, but I just want to remind folks of the wonderful book, Living the Blessed Life, Seven Keys to Trusting God and Embracing Joy, from Ascension Press. Our guest, the author, Melissa Overmyer. We have to have you back on to do more
on
this book.
Thanks so much. Go to melissaovermyer.com and sign up for my free weekly encouraging email.
Okay, we will. Got to run. Thanks. Speaking of recognizing and acknowledging the beauty of God that he gives us in every day, out there in nature, maybe looking at a child, we're going to talk about a particular item in nature. I think you'll enjoy it when we come out of the news and the open for the second hour on EWTN's Radio Extra. My friend Patty McGuire Armstrong is going to join us talking about sunflowers, or as we say in Italy, girasole. If you go on my Facebook page, we've posted a number of pictures. Speaking of beauty, as Melissa was talking about, we went just up the road from our little village here in central Umbria, and the fields are everywhere. Some are in full bloom, some are about to explode in yellow and orange colors. We were just coming back from an errand yesterday and pulled over to the side of the road and just took a ton of photos, and I think you'll enjoy them. But got me thinking about sunflowers. I love them so much because they're big and bright and because they follow the sun. They do. And I think that is very spiritual. There actually is a spiritual component to this. And Patty Armstrong, the reason she's joining us, when I was doing some research on sunflowers this morning, wrote a beautiful article all about sunflowers in the U.S. of A. for the National Catholic Register. It was published a while ago, but it's an evergreen story, as we say in the biz. Really means you can read it anytime, especially now, especially this weekend. Maybe take a break and go out and find your favorite flower. Mine happens to be sunflower. Find your favorite flower. Get a whole bouquet of them. Stick them on your 4th of July picnic table. Look at the beauty and the joy. We'll talk more about that with Patty McGuire Armstrong. And then we're going to also go a little bit deeper into the whole situation with the recent Supreme Court decision regarding men and boys not being able to play in women's sports. The bans in 27 states upheld. We're going to talk to a woman who is determined to help women be feminine in sports. Really cool project she has. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Thursday. It is July 2nd, 2026. Hope your Thursday is going beautifully so far this morning. Wishing you a wonderful 4th of July holiday weekend. We will have a special patriotic edition of Catholic Connection tomorrow because we have the day off, but we'll still be with you via the magic of radio and recording. Isn't it amazing? It is. It is amazing. And radio, by the way, was invented by an Italian-Irishman. Marconi was half Italian, half Irish. Just throwing that out there. Anyhow, I digress. We are going to have a great show today. I'm so excited. My friend Patty McGuire Armstrong is going to be joining us. And you know her for her great work and contributions to the Register quite often and her many, many books. She also has a wonderful show in her home state of North Dakota where she co-hosts a beautiful program which I've been on many times, very fun. It is called Women with an of Another View, I should say. But Patty wrote this amazing article that I just happened to come across this morning when I was doing research for our 2 cents segment, which is going to be all about sunflowers. So why talk about sunflowers? Well, sunflowers have a very spiritual and, more importantly, Christian nature. And there's even Catholic saints who have incorporated them for a number of reasons into their lives. And Patty's going to get into more of the Catholic perspective. But sunflowers are my favorite flower. And one of the reasons we hang out until July, usually we're leaving, going back to the States in a couple of weeks. But one time we left early and I missed all the sunflowers. And one of our neighbors here in our village was sending me pictures. And I was practically in tears that I missed it, because it's so special to be here in Italy, especially central Italy, where they're so prominent, when the sunflowers bloom. And every time I see them, they just remind me of people of faith, because they are following the sun. They have this thing in their system, and there's a word for it, and it's a technical term, and they literally turn toward the sun. It's amazing. But they're so beautiful, they're so big, they're so bright. And if you were listening to the first part of the program, as we wrapped up with author and speaker Melissa Overmeyer and her beautiful book, Living the Blessed Life, she has a whole section in there about beauty and how important it is to recognize beauty and thank God for it. Don't just go by and say, oh, it's pretty. Think about it. What does it represent? Why is it beautiful? And we're going to do that in our 2 cents segment, concentrating on the beautiful sunflower. And then we're going to talk to someone who is really making a difference for women in sports. Her name is Samantha Kelly, and she also has a beautiful ministry that has a podcast, which we air, by the way. The podcast is called Fierce. And we're going to get her take on the Supreme Court ruling to ban males and boys from women's sports and how they're upholding that. And we're going to talk to her also about why she started Fierce. She has a desire to reach female athletes, coaches, and parents across the world and change the culture of female athletics. And then we'll wrap up a Thursday morning. Feels more like a Friday today because we have the day off tomorrow. Mike McDonald is with the Catholic League. He's going to talk to us more about this decision from the Supreme Court and just how important it truly is. His wonderful boss, another Irishman, Bill Donahue, is off this week, but Mike's going to be joining us, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun and energetic, as well as interesting and important. Never a dull moment with so much going on. All right, let's take the look at the weather forecast that we need to do for you, as we do every day. Nothing's changed, really. The National Weather Service is still saying dangerous, record-breaking heat continuing across most of the central and eastern U.S. This will happening today, continuing today, going all the way through Friday. Then it's moving through the Independence Day weekend to the eastern portion of the country. And then the temperatures could reach up to 115 degrees. Strong to severe, it will feel like 115 degrees, actually. Strong to severe thunderstorms will be possible from the northern plains into the Midwest and the Great Lakes regions, as well as across the southern Appalachians. And that will happen today, but it is going to extend into the 4th of July weekend. It is 4 minutes past the hour. Great to be with you on a Thursday. Wishing you again a beautiful and healthy and safe 4th of July weekend. God bless America. Time to get started with the news here on a Thursday on EWTN's Radio Extra. Natalie Rodriguez brings us up to date on the situation in Venezuela, where she says it's hitting a grim new peak.
The official earthquake death toll has now surpassed 2,200, with 50,000 people or more still missing. Standing with local relief groups, South Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez is demanding expedited federal processing to ensure immediate logistical support. Local drop-off hubs are urgently pleading for professional medical gear, baby formula, tents, and hygiene items.
This is the kind of response that I expected from South Florida, especially the Venezuela community.
He was side-by-side thousands of volunteers at the Global Empowerment Mission headquarters in the city of Doral, officials emphasizing they cannot accept any more clothing or standard bottled water. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
A breakaway Catholic group has been excommunicated for ordaining bishops in defiance of Pope Leo. The Society of St. Pius X ordaining 4 new bishops yesterday, despite strong appeals from the Holy Father not to go through with those ordinations. The group has been against church reforms that were introduced in the 1960s and did not have papal approval to ordain bishops. Today, the Vatican published a decree saying the 4 bishops are excommunicated, along with the 2 bishops who took part in the ceremony. And the decree also warns anyone who follows a breakaway group that they will also be excommunicated. The U.S. Supreme Court is agreeing to hear a religious liberty lawsuit, this involving a Jewish prayer group and Ohio zoning laws. Court records show Daniel Grand sued the city of University Heights after officials required him to obtain a special use permit to host a prayer gathering in his home. Lower courts dismissing the case because he had not completed the local permitting process before filing suit. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, meanwhile, backing Grand's legal challenge. They argue religious liberty claims should not be delayed by lengthy zoning procedures. The Supreme Court is expected to hear the case during the next term, beginning in October. The latest round of talks between the U.S. and Iran ending with no major developments. Mitch McCann reports officials in Qatar claim, though, there were positive events going on, some progress in the talks that wrapped up yesterday.
It seems the key points of discussion are around the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's desire to enforce tolling, as well as financial arrangements, for example, the rollback of sanctions and money that's been withheld from the Iranian government, and also the ceasefire in Lebanon is another key point of discussion.
President Trump did say this week the two sides were making some progress and told reporters the denuclearization of Iran is moving along. The next meeting between the U.S. and Iran will take place after the funeral for Iran Supreme Leader Khamenei, who is due to be buried next week. Mark Mayfield tells us President Trump was in North Dakota yesterday. He was paying tribute to a man he believes embodied the heart and soul of America.
Trump was in the city of Medora for the dedication of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library.
On the steps of the Burning Hills, we dedicate a living monument to a legend, a statesman, a soldier, frontiersman.
Trump called the 26th president of the U.S. a true American hero. Trump was accompanied by several dignitaries, including Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, who previously served as the governor of North Dakota. The dedication came as the U.S. celebrates its 250th anniversary. Trump took the new Air Force One on its maiden voyage to travel to North Dakota. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And Vice President J.D. Vance praised the military as a country is getting ready to celebrate its big 250th anniversary. He spoke at the Naval Air Station Oceana in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Part of the reason why we in our political leadership are able to do what we do is because the world over, bad guys and good guys, friends and foes, allies and enemies are afraid of you.
He told troops he's grateful for all of them willing to put on the uniform to protect the country. He added they make it possible for Americans to pursue the American dream. He also praised the president, saying he has given the military clearly defined missions and the tools needed to accomplish them. William Denzel reports over a dozen people are dead and scores more hurt after a massive missile and drone attack took place on Ukraine.
It was an assault Ukraine knew was coming. President Volodymyr Zelensky cut his visit to Ireland short, warning that Russia was planning a massive strike. Several neighborhoods were hit in Kyiv overnight, sparking multiple fires. Moscow says it was targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure in response to recent strikes conducted by Ukraine. The U.S. ambassador in Ukraine called it a horrific night for the city's residents, who were forced to spend it in shelters. William Denslow, Brussels.
And Tammy Trujillo tells us the Supreme Court striking down campaign finance rules that were challenged by Vice President Vance.
The longstanding rules put limits on how much a national political party committee can spend in coordination with individual candidates. Justices ruled 6-3 that the restrictions violate free speech rights under the Constitution's First Amendment, based on the theory that political spending is a form of speech. The Federal Election Commission under the Trump administration sided with the challengers. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And the race to become Colorado's Republican nominee for governor remains at this point too close to call. Victor Marks, currently holding the lead in the GOP primary there, pulling ahead of State Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer by more than 2,100 votes.
Everything we've seen, we've carried the momentum, but for the day of voting, to us, this is still, I mean, we're humbled and excited that it's this close and we believe we're going to win.
Marks expressing his optimism that he'll become the party's nominee for the November general election after taking a slim lead. Results for the two candidates are still within 0.5%, which would trigger an automatic recount under Colorado law if that margin holds. State election officials say it may take several more days to determine the winner. The nominee will take on Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser in November's general election. And the government's June jobs report being released today, a day earlier than normal due to the upcoming July 4th holiday. Most analysts expecting to see 115,000 jobs added last month. In comparison, May's job report showed the economy adding 172,000 new jobs. And the Federal Reserve Chair, Kevin Warr, says inflation risks have declined over the last few weeks.
If there were people in household or the business sector and the financial markets who thought that this central bank was going to be comfortable with an inflation objective above 2%, well, I guess they'd be disappointed.
This is due to energy prices dropping following the U.S. and Iran signing a memorandum of understanding to end the ongoing war. According to Warsh, the central bank still, though, has more work to do, but it will stay independent. He made the comments while speaking at a gathering of central bankers in Portugal. The Fed chair also adding the reserve is monitoring the AI industry and predicts it will create jobs due to a boom in capital expenditures. Rory O'Neill tells us America is celebrating its birthday, but babies will be getting the presents in the form of Trump accounts.
Included in last year's One Big Beautiful Bill, Trump accounts officially launch on the 4th of July. Millions of families have already signed up for what's technically known as a 530A account. They provide U.S. citizens born between 2025 and 2028 with a one-time $1,000 contribution from the federal government. That money cannot be withdrawn until the child turns 18. I'm Rory O'Neill.
And AAA is projecting that more than 72 million Americans will travel during the Independence Day holiday period this year. Holiday travel sets another record, but it's only 0.5% increase from last year as rising inflationary pressures take a toll. The period started on Saturday, June 27th, and goes through this Sunday. Speaking of summer and the weekend, how about some flowers? We'll talk about those, in particular sunflowers following the sun, up next. So as I mentioned earlier, we were running errands yesterday and we were coming back to our little village here in Umbria in central Italy. And of course, field after field after field just bursting with these gorgeous sunflowers. And so we had to pull over, and we'll be doing more of that this weekend, God willing, and take some wonderful pictures, which are on my Facebook page. And I thought, you know, they are just so incredibly beautiful. And I just love the fact, they're my favorite flower. I love the fact that they literally follow the sun, and it's very inspirational. And they really do have a very strong Christian, even more importantly, Catholic Christian component. And so when I was doing some research on that this morning, I came across an article by my good friend Patty McGuire Armstrong. You know her well. She doesn't need much of an introduction. She's a great writer, speaker, and she's a host of a wonderful program called Women of Another View, which airs in her home area. And I'm telling you, Patty, I love the article. But first, girlfriend, I wanted to give you a little bit of background about the flowers here in Italy in particular. You probably already know this, considering you did a lot of research for your article. But they're abundant here because they are an important cash crop. They thrive in several regions, Tuscany, Umbria, and Lazio primarily. And they are cultivated for, obviously, their seeds and the oil. And in Italy here, they're called girasole. And they're not only, of course, visually stunning, but they're economically significant, and also they are spiritually significant. And I know I'm going to let you explain that. But I loved your article. And by the way, you could still find it. It's called God's Sunflower, How the Bright Bloom Became a Catholic Symbol of Faith and Devotion. Patty, great to speak to you again. Happy summer. So you were assigned this project by our friends at the Register, right?
Yes, I was asked to do something about sunflowers. And I thought, oh, well, okay, I love sunflowers, and they're pretty. We see fields and fields as you're driving around in North Dakota, like you described. But I love sunflowers, but I love them all the more. I think they are my favorite flower now after having researched them. Because the religious, the Catholic symbolism, the beauty, and to realize, I mean, I kind of knew this, but I didn't think that much about it, how they follow the sun from morning till night till evening. And when I say night here, I mean night, because it doesn't get dark till 10 o'clock in North Dakota. So it is pretty late here by the time it gets dark. And then it goes back. So in the morning, it's ready again to start following the sun from east to west. It really is an incredible flower.
And there's a Catholic connection to Our Lady of Charity, a Cuban devotion, right?
Right, yes. During times of persecution in Cuba, sunflowers were placed on windows to represent Our Lady of Charity. And it's mirroring the Virgin Mary's constant focus on her son, Jesus, just as the sunflower stays focused on the sun. And that's where the religious symbolism really comes from, is it's that laser focus on the sun as we should have on the sun. You know, so, I mean, here again, you know, sun, S-O-N, as opposed to S-U-N. And then some of the saints were attracted to the sunflower, too, and saints... Saint Julie Billiard, the founder of the Sisters of Notre Dame, she used the sunflower to remind people to keep their eyes fixed on God. And so in a lot of her writing, she refers to the sunflowers. And she said, she wrote, "To be simple is to be like a sunflower, which follows all the movements of the sun and even turns towards it." And one more saint that I think a lot of us know that's become popular in recent years is Saint Josephine Bakita. She was an African saint freed from slavery. And she became associated with the Daughters of Charity Sisters in Italy, of course. And she is used with sunflowers symbolizing her sunny disposition and joy despite her past suffering. And so we've got a lot of the saints, including Padre Pio, who just looked at the sunflower. And I did not know that before my assignment. And afterwards, I realized, like, wow, this really is something where nature is giving us a message and a representation of our own faith life.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to read what you said in the article. And by the way, we're talking with writer, speaker, and host Patty McGuire Armstrong. You say St. Padre Pio, the 20th century mystic and stigmatist, has been referred to as God's sunflower in Catholic writings, representing his loyal devotion entirely toward the Creator. I love that.
Yes, I know. So, and as you love that, like, you just fall in love with the sunflower all the more. And there's a lot more, too, you know, as you start to learn how, you know, the makeup of the sunflower and how it acts and how nutritious it is. It's not just a beautiful flower with a lot of symbolism. It's so healthy for you.
It's so interesting, though, how they literally move. There's a very particular term, and I can't pronounce it. I forget the name of it, but it's actually built into their system, allowing them to constantly follow the sun.
Yes, there is a scientific reason, and I'm not able to put that into words right now, I referred to it, but you'd have to do more research on the way, like, each. The sunflower, there's a lot of little flowers within that radius in the center. You've got the petals of the flower on the outside, and then within them are the little flowers, and each one forms a sunflower seed. So when you take a closer look at them, and they come in different sizes and colors, and some are used for confectionery where you're eating them, snacking on them everywhere you go. Any service station you go to, you know, there's bags and bags of sunflowers. But they're also used for their oil. They're crushed and the oil comes out. And then the remnant of that becomes feed for animals. You know, they're high in protein. They have vitamin E. And you think, like, wow, this is really an amazing plant. And they're so beautiful to watch and to look at.
They just make me so happy because they're so big and they're so bright and they just look like a big smile. And everywhere you turn when you look at them, they just ooze happiness to me.
They do. They're just called the happy and joyful flower. And it's like they're just having a good time out there.
Right.
And they're moving around during the day. They're following the sun, going from one side to the other. And, I mean, they're challenging to grow. I know I interviewed a sunflower farmer. They're difficult for a lot of different reasons, but they're also very profitable. And North Dakota is the number one sunflower producer in the country. So
really,
state, yes, yes.
Because Kansas, has a lot of sunflowers too, right? Kansas is big on the sunflowers.
They do. So last year, North Dakota they produced 1.1 billion pounds. Followed by South Dakota at 817.2 million pounds, then Minnesota and Texas. And together they had about 132 million pounds, and Minnesota did, and then Texas had 61 million pounds. And then Nebraska, California, Kansas, and Colorado contributed to another millions of pounds collectively.
Wow. So Patty, yeah. In your article, you alluded to this, but I wanted to mention this when I did some research. I found some of the other articles saying sunflowers are so special because this whole concept of light when it comes to our Christian faith. Light symbolizes divine guidance and truth throughout the Bible. Sunflowers, known for their efforts to turn toward the sun, mirror this concept by seeking out light. In John 8:12, Jesus states, "I am the light of the world." Just as sunflowers orient themselves toward sunlight, you can seek divine truth and guidance by aligning your life with God's teachings. This pursuit of light fosters clarity and understanding in your spiritual journey. And I think they're therefore, even though they have so many benefits in addition to the beauty, as you just said, the oil, the seeds, they're very profitable. But I think it's a constant reminder to us to always look to the sun, as in the sun, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. I pulled over in my car and it's raining out. So if you hear a little raindrops, it's great for the sunflowers, but, you know, it's not always good for radio.
That's okay. It's live radio. We get it. Yeah. Were you surprised by the amount of information that was available about sunflowers, Patty?
Yes. Now, I mean, granted, I did a deep dive and I looked up different things. I kept putting different search engines in and trying to find out more and more. And then I also interviewed a sunflower farmer. And I interviewed somebody who's been a longtime writer, 30 years, with a sunflower magazine, the industry magazine. So I was getting a lot of information. And lo and behold, I put out some, I don't know, a question on my Facebook page. And then somebody came forward who I didn't even really know, who has always loved sunflowers. And from the time they were expecting their first child, they've gotten their family portraits. They'll pull over in front of a sunflower seed and gotten their family portrait there. And then, you know, Aww. Then one baby, two, and now three. And so in the article, it's just precious. But there's a lot of photographs, but the very mm-hmm. top one is they have a young boy. I think he's maybe three in the photo. Blonde hair, little straw hat with a big smile standing in front of a bunch of sunflowers.
And oh, he's so adorable. I'm looking at it right now with his little summertime shirt on and that hat and everything. It's absolutely adorable. Patty, we're out of time, but I want to remind folks, you can find this wonderful article that Patty wrote. You can still look it up on our website. The title is God's Sunflower, How the Bright Bloom Became a Catholic Symbol of Faith and Devotion. Patty, thank you for this, and thanks for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. And what a great article, and what a great reminder to always, always follow the sun. And go walk among the sunflowers and buy some at your local florist and put them on your table. You'll be surprised at how they make you feel happy. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection, and it's an honor to have a wonderful guest with us, and she has a lot to say about women's sports and about the feminine genius and also about the decision that came out of the Supreme Court, which we're still covering, of course, because it's such a huge story. On Tuesday, as you may recall, the Supreme Court upholding bans on men and boys not playing in women's sports. So a big win for those who truly want to maintain women and men's sports and to be fair and equitable. Samantha Kelly is with us. She is with a beautiful ministry known as Fierce. She has a podcast that also airs on our podcast channel and on EWTN.com/radio is where you can find it. She's an international presenter, author, and speaker, the founder and current president, as we mentioned, of Fierce. She holds an honorary doctorate in applied leadership from Walsh University. She has a master's of Catholic psychology from Divine Mercy University. And her bio is very long and very impressive. But because we only have about 9 minutes, I want to get to the topic at hand. First of all, Samantha, it's great to talk to you. Let me start out by asking us first. I want to ask you first about your beautiful ministry, because I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing for young women and girls. Tell us about Fierce and how it all began.
Sure. Thanks, Teresa. Yeah, so our mission at Fierce is to empower female athletes to thrive in their God-given identity and femininity. So we look at female sports. You know, I was a D1 athlete. It is one of the greatest gifts, I think, for young people. I mean, the virtue it teaches, et cetera. But female sports, a lot of this is hidden, though I think some of it with the current issues of the day and the Supreme Court ruling, some of these issues have been brought to light. But it's also a very toxic culture. There's a lot of eating disorders, mental health issues, promiscuity, yeah. same-sex attraction, just a lot that goes on. And so, you know, I founded Fierce 10 years ago now and in response to a call from the Lord, but to really begin to address, okay, what is my true identity within athletics? It's not in my performance. It's in my daughterhood. But also, you know, how can I be feminine in sport? Because I think there's a lot of confusion surrounding that issue as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. You started this 10 years ago, and I think 10 years ago, we were really just starting to see this whole controversy regarding, you know, men identifying as girls or women trying to identify as boys, and now it's just off the charts insanity. And so, boy, God putting that on your heart 10 years ago is very providential, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, it's very interesting because a lot of what we focus on, Teresa, is theology of the body, which I think is mm-hmm. really the antidote to our time. Identity, right. femininity, sexuality. But I see, to your point, how God in his providence had us in place already so that when this wave came, and even I honestly didn't think it'd get to the point it's gotten to, but when this wave came with the transgender movement and how that's affected women's sports, we were uniquely placed to be able to be that voice of reason and truth.
I want to mention your website as well, fierceathlete.org. It's a beautiful website, fierceathlete.org, for more information. So when the Supreme Court decision came down recently, what kind, I'm sure you must have heard from a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had the privilege. There was a big rally when the cases were being heard in January, mm-hmm. and I had the privilege of speaking at the rally in front of the Supreme Court and actually getting to pray for God's will to be done, which was just such an honor. And so I've been following the cases pretty closely. And, yeah, it's an exciting victory. And at the same time, I think what a lot of people don't see or understand is there's still a lot of work to be done. Essentially, this ruling has established that states can ban men from women's sports, but only 27 states have done that. So mm-hmm. there's going to need to be more litigation and more fight going forward, but it is just a huge, huge victory and kind of just the momentum that we've been experiencing overturning this issue.
And you're absolutely right that there's a lot of work to do. I think sometimes when we have these big victories, for example, with Dobbs and overturning Roe v. Wade, that was a huge victory, mm-hmm. but we can't sit on our laurels because, you know, they're not exactly sleeping. I had Mary Rice Hassan on yesterday from the Public Policy Center. She's amazing. Yeah, she's doing a lot of great work in this area. And she said pretty much the same thing you did. What kind of comments are you getting, people reaching out to you after the decision?
A lot of excitement, a lot of relief. I would say 95% positive. I mean, in some regards, me speaking in front of the Supreme Court, while we're not an advocacy group, we're very much a ministry,
right.
so we will speak for truth, did put a bit of a target on my back. And so, we definitely get some of the opposition voicing their opinions and just, being disgruntled, but that's just an opportunity to pray for them. So, but, I mean, the athletes I work with, there's just this, it's about time, there's a relief, there's a sense of, you know, being seen and being fought for and excitement surrounding the decision.
Given your extensive education in Catholic teaching and your knowledge and love of theology of the body, where do you think all this is coming from? Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm in my 60s now, and when I was growing up, I never could have imagined anything like this to get to the point. And even the fact that it made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and that we've spent so much time and effort on this whole issue of saying that men can be boys, men can be girls, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Where do you think all this came from?
I mean, ultimately, the evil one.
Well, yeah, true.
But
yeah.
what I will say is, and this is what we constantly come back to at Fierce is, and I work primarily with young people. There's just a deep desire for people to know their identity. And everybody wants a label. Everybody wants to be seen and known and loved. And but there's just this falsivity that emerges surrounding identity and who we really are. And when we live in a godless society, then there's no order. There's no creation. Mm-hmm. You know, we are just then this blank canvas that we can become anybody we want. But I think on like a spiritual level, you know, we as human persons are made in the image and likeness of God. And so we are body and soul, that's our nature. And so if the evil one can convince us that body-soul union is ruptured, right? I'm this body, but I'm this soul, then that's, a direct attack against our image of God and our understanding of God. And so the devil is going to attack us at our core. And I think with all the confusion today and all, just the inner work. I mean, I'm sure Mary went into it yesterday, but all the inner workings of what's been going on in the culture and over the last number of years, we've kind of ended up in this really confused and toxic place.
I found it very interesting and no coincidence that when I would go and turn on my computer, these different stories about so-called, trans actors, the female actor who had the surgery and calls herself a man now, I can't remember her name, but they have all these stories about her and how she's so doing so great and she looks amazing in terms of she has this flat abs and everything and it's all about her looks and, and of course, she identifies as a man now, but I thought, why are all these stories about her coming out now, right, 2 days after this decision? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, the media is very left-leaning and they're going to fight truth. And so they're going to feed those stories in just to kind of try to convince the greater population that this was a wrong decision or this is not just, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But again, they're promoting a lie. They're promoting. And the truth is this actress and what the statistics are saying is, when people go through this process, right, of going through quote-unquote transition, et cetera, initially, they might experience some level of happiness, but it's like, I think 7 years, 9 years down the road, the suicide rate is like 17 times higher. Mm-hmm. So it's very damaging in the long run because individuals who are seeking an identity, finally, they've changed something, they feel great for a while, but then they realize only God can fulfill us, right? They realize that these things haven't fulfilled them. And so that's where we get
absolutely
into danger.
Samantha, God bless your work. And again, Samantha is with a beautiful ministry entitled Fierce. Give us your website one more time.
Fierce.org or fierceathlete.org, either.
All right. Well, keep up the great work and look forward to keeping in touch with you. And don't forget to follow her podcast as well. We'll be right back. Minutes past the hour on a Thursday, July 2nd, wishing all of you a beautiful 4th of July weekend. We will have the day off tomorrow, but we will have a special edition of many of our programs, including Catholic in Action. We pre-recorded a beautiful, wonderful, patriotic show for you. And we know that our friends at the Catholic League are all about patriotism and God and country. Mike McDonald is the Director of Communications of the Catholic League, sitting in this morning for Bill Donahue, who joins us on a regular basis here at Catholic Connection. But thanks be to God, Mike. I'm so happy that he's taking some time off, right? He's home for a week or on vacation?
Yeah, he's taking a well-deserved break. I mean, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's going 1,000 miles a minute, but he's tearing it up and still getting some pretty big wins.
Amen. He does a great, great job. We love him. He's a regular guest. Okay, so what was the reaction at the Catholic League when you heard the news of the decision regarding the Supreme Court and the bans, upholding the bans of the states that are saying men cannot play in women's sports?
Well, obviously we're extremely happy that the court applied some common sense and came to the right conclusion on this. Looking at the laws of the land, Title IX, and then refuting some of this notion that they should apply the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. So we're very happy about that, but we can't necessarily say we are overly surprised. This, as I mentioned, was the right decision looking at the way the laws are written. But also just from a common sense standpoint, there's a huge difference between men and boys. And it was very good to see in the opinion by Justice Kavanaugh that he highlighted that point. And then equally, probably didn't necessarily need to be said if we lived in saner times, but Justice Thomas's argument, his concurring opinion was just great. It shouldn't be said that transgender men or transgender women are really men. They don't become women just because they identify that way. And it was great to see that actually as part of our jurisprudence now. So very excited that we got the right ruling, but not overly surprised or kind of confident going into it that this would be the outcome.
Right. Well, I wanted to read a couple of quotes from Bill's piece that's posted, of course, on your great website, CatholicLeague.org. CNN opines that this ruling means that it allows a conservative majority on the high court to further cement its power in ways that has benefited Trump and Republicans. This remarkably insane comment comes a day after the Supreme Court decided against 3 of the 4 cases that Trump wanted. They never connect the dots, do they? They never look at the big picture.
Well, no, obviously they don't. And similar to what your last guest, Samantha, was saying, that they are just interested in promoting lies across the world. And Bill and I, we've spoken about this a number of times. You can find a lot of great columns on CatholicLeague.org about this, that the left has this interest in sort of divorcing people from reality. So that they'll say anything in the moment to make you believe their lies, believe their propaganda, and as a result, they can then use that to further their ambitions of changing, molding man and society to fit their distorted left-wing notions, these highly secular, highly anti-religious notions.
And then, as Bill points out in this piece of Justice Brown Jackson, in her short dissent, she mentioned sex assigned at birth, as opposed to saying, which I love the language that Kavanaugh used, because he spoke truth, saying men and boys who are identifying as women or girls. But she repeatedly said sex assigned at birth. So what happens in that case when sex is being assigned at birth? Is the doctor standing over the baby and saying, well, your mom says you're going to be a girl even though you're a boy? How does that work exactly?
Yeah, you know, I want whatever she's drinking. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, that's entirely...
That's insane!
Not just anti-religion, that's anti-science. Exactly, it is right. It is pure insanity. Everyone knows from, you know, just basic biology in high school, you don't even need to take a college-level class on this, that sex is determined by the father at the act of conception. That's how it happens. There's no... doctor, oh, we need to go consult with the you know, the great sky spirits to figure it out. No, it really is just basic science, and the Catholic Church has been right on this forever. And it's very good that you know, we had a handful of justices, the majority, that understood this. It's very disturbing that we actually have a justice that believes that sex is assigned at birth, can identify that she's a woman, and then puts right. that sort of stuff in writing. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not qualified enough to be on the Supreme Court, but I think I could probably do a good enough job just knowing which way she was going to rule, ruling the exact opposite. Because if you're pushing that type of nonsense, you don't have a grounding in science, you don't have a grounding in reasons, you don't have a grounding in the law, and that is something that should be a little disturbing. I mean, I'm glad we're able to get the result right now, but yeah, that does kind of put a little damper on this. There's a member of the Supreme Court using in writing sex assigned at birth. It's just nonsense.
And did you notice, and by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Thursday, we're talking to the communications director for the wonderful Catholic League. Mike McDonald is with us. Did you notice the reaction of the media when they wrote the articles in terms of referring to, just as Jackson Brown or Brown Jackson did, there I am going to a singer, that's my error, Jackson Brown. I meant Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Supreme Court Justice, is saying, constantly using that language, but so are the media. They're talking about, if I read a story, I think it was Wednesday, from USA Today, and they referred to the plaintiff in the second case that came before the Supreme Court as a transgender woman assigned as a male at birth. And they kept using that same phrase over and over and over again. This comes, I think, Mike, from the style book, the AP style book, which has adopted all of these phrases. For example, you know, gender affirming care, sex assigned at birth. This is in writing now in the different style encouragements and editing materials that are available for reporters.
Yeah, and that's really dangerous, that because there is no greater way that you can turn society upside down than trying to blend the genders, the sexes, really, saying that, you know, well, this one's really a man, this one's really a woman. And Bill and I, we do this stuff all the time. I still find myself getting tripped up when it's like, wait, is a transgender man, is that a man pretending
right.
he's a woman, or is that a woman pretending,
woman pretending
she's a man?
She's a man.
And so
right.
I just try and stick to that, someone who's pretending the opposite, and just try and keep it that way. Because I can't keep it straight. And the Catholic League, we've been in this fight for a very long time. Leading a lot of efforts in this regard. And, you know, I do this professionally and I can't keep it straight. So I can only imagine, you know, for the average consumer of the news that's, you know, has got 5 minutes to read the paper while they're sitting down to breakfast, 5 minutes before dinner, they get to watch a little bit of something on cable. You're not going to be able to keep up with this. And they're doing
right.
this on purpose to try and
mm-hmm.
disorient society at large. And it is part of this goal to deracinate people from their roots, get them confused so that they can then push in this great secular revolution that they want. And it is extremely disturbing, and it does require people of faith to get involved, become greater consumers of information. And, you know, this is, Teresa, why we love you so much here at the Catholic League, is you are on the front lines making sure that people of faith, Catholics in particular, know what the stakes are and can explain it in such a way that people are able to get involved.
Well, that's because they have great guests like you and Bill. It makes it easy. No, seriously. And when I have people who can complain it, can explain it in a clear and concise way. But this is one thing that really I find very amazing. I was talking to Samantha about this. Did you, and Bill has mentioned this too, and the many times he's been on the program, Mike. Did you and Bill ever expect it to get to this point where we'd have a case at the Supreme Court, or two cases in referred to the judgments that came out on Tuesday, that we would be spending this much time and this would gain this much traction to have to be heard by the High Court of the land?
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it was going to have to play out this way, because these radicals on the left, these secular totalitarians, really are have been pushing this so far, so radically, and it's so perfect for their design. If you can confuse, particularly, and this is again why they target the children, if you can get children to be confused about the difference between boys and girls, men and women, that you can then do all of these grand plans that they have for society. And that's why we, you know, we're very blessed that we have a Supreme Court that had their head screwed on straight, that didn't listen to Justice Jackson, that decided that the right thing to do would be uphold natural law, uphold the differences between boys and girls. But without that sort of check, without someone coming in here and finally slapping these people down, no, they were going to push us as far as they could. They're ambitious. They're driven by demonic forces in some cases to push this revolution, and this is just one facet of it. And this is why, you know, Catholics in particular need to get involved and make sure that your faith is reflected in the public policy of the land.
Do you think, Mike, and do you, the folks at the Catholic League, think that we have put this to rest a bit in terms of, okay, we had a victory here, as it says on this wonderful blog of Bill's on the website at CatholicLeague.org. This is a big victory. But we can't rest on our laurels, because there are still, 23 states that don't have bans. And once we do that, then they can always move right back in, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's not just that 23 states don't have bans. In a lot of those states, it's the exact opposite, that you are forbidden from keeping boys from playing girls' sports. So, no, this does not entirely put this issue to rest. There are 23 states that are doing the exact opposite or just don't care enough to protect girls' sports. So, yeah, this is still a very big issue. And if you look at particularly, like, you know, we're here in New York where the socialist revolution is being televised.
Mm-hmm.
The radical left in this country is still extremely wedded to this issue. They're still getting a lot of funding from, the activist organizations, from the medical profession that is profiting off these poor mm-hmm. people that have been lied to that they can change their sexes. This is still a live issue for the radical left, and, you know, the radical left and the normal left are starting to look pretty much the same thing these days.
Right.
There's not much of a difference. So, no, this is not, you know, it's a big win. It's a great victory. Sure, you can go ahead and pop your champagne now, but just be ready to fight, because this is not going away. This is still going to be a live issue. And the good thing about it is, though, it doesn't necessarily need to be for, you know, your listeners like, oh, okay, I live in some deep blue state and the crazies run things. You can still try and make a difference on the local level, at your local school board, at your local school. You can try and make these fights here and get involved. And on the local level, you as an individual have so much more impact, which is, you know, I know you've been talking with Bill about this, the founding fathers were so committed to federalism, to let people have their voices heard, which, again, we can find in the Catholic tradition of
right.
Subsidiarity.
Subsidiarity, I was just going to say that, yep. Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
You as an individual have so much more power on the local level, so, you know, celebrate the win now. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from this. This was a big fight, a big win. But there's still a lot of work to be done, yeah. And it is going mm-hmm. to continue. and potentially get worse, because as these people, you know, they're going to be like a wounded animal here.
Right.
It's, their intensity is going to increase exponentially. So we got to be, you know, ready to step into that ring.
And also, too, I think that we are at the point where we need to understand even more deeply how important the local level is, because that's how these people get started, whether it is a dog catcher, whether it's a member of the city council, whether it's a school, you know, board. It all starts locally. So that's why it's very important to be involved locally. Mike, thank you so much. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for all the great work you do at the Catholic League. Again, you can find the beautiful blog, and very well written as always, blog by Bill Donahue, Males Cannot Crash Female Sports. You'll find it at catholicleague.org. You can check out Bill's great books. Mike, a happy 4th of July to you and Bill, and we look forward to having you both on the show again real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Teresa. Happy 4th, and God bless.
God bless you. Our friends at the Catholic League, Mike McDonald is the Director of Communications and sitting in for the wonderful Bill Donahue, who is taking some very well-deserved time off. And I hope you will, too. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Past the hour. It is a Thursday, wrapping up hour number two of Catholic Connection on EWTN's Radio Extra. And please check out the websites of the Catholic League and also of Fierce. And don't forget, Samantha from Fierce has a wonderful podcast that we also put out there. So all of the great information, EWTN.com. And don't forget the special program that's on tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and 8 o'clock Central. And I want to give you the name of that program. It's going to be fantastic, Holding These Truths Again. And the guests are going to be the amazing Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, Bishop Thomas Peprocchi, and another great Christian brother in the Lord, Dr. Ben Carson, renowned surgeon and public servant and public speaker, and a whole host of other great guests. But those are certainly three great reasons to tune in tonight. And we have all kinds of other special programming. If you heard on Friday when Peter Gagnon, the president of EWTN Studios, joins us last week, he gave a whole list of all the great programs that's coming up. And simply all you have to do is go to EWTN.com, sign up for our newsletter, e-newsletter. Just stay tuned, because it's going to be a great weekend. And always, always thank God for this great country of ours. Even though Deacon Dom and I spend a lot of time in Italy, America, we believe, is still the greatest country in the world, especially because of the founding fathers and the Catholic influence of this country. So for me and Deacon Dom, we wish you a beautiful and happy and healthy 4th of July weekend. Don't forget to look at the sunflowers and follow the sun, not just 4th of July, but every day. Special edition of Catholic Connection coming your way on a Friday. Ciao, ciao.